If ever there was a time in which a patient's guide to good cancer care was needed, it is now. We are long past the paternalistic age in which cancer patients implicitly trusted their local doctors and did as they were told. That may have been quite sufficient in an era when the treatment options were limited and there was little room for uneven care. But that is not where we are now. We live in an age of great medical advances, which render a bewildering array of treatment options to patients. We live in an age of hypercommunication, in which information is pouring in from such a variety of sources that it is difficult to curate it, decipher it, and determine what is valuable and what is not. Within this cacophony of information, both doctor and patient can lose control, and the net result has been a very uneven quality of cancer care delivered. The very authoritative Institute of Medicine and a group of very determined researchers at Dartmouth College have documented how patchy the quality of cancer care can be in the United States by geographic region, by hospital, and by physician. Inevitably, this has consequences for patient outcomes, and in particular, the big two of survival and quality of life. I will give you some examples from my own experience as a prostate cancer oncologist. Why is it the case that, in the United States, most men with very mild and early prostate cancers receive aggressive treatment, whereas in the United Kingdom, they are usually observed? Why are these U.S. patients much more likely to undergo surgery in the Pacific Northwest than in New England? Why do reports from very experienced surgeons show low rates of complications, such as urinary incontinence, and yet national studies show rates of the same complications to be very high? The answers, sadly, may lie in dark places. Physicians prefer to do what they do. If a surgeon sees a patient first, then surgery may be the only treatment offered. Surgeons who perform an operation infrequently will not do it as well as those who work in high-volume centers. The payment structure in some healthcare systems may incentivize physicians to use one treatment over another perfectly good alternative treatment. These are problems on the physician side. But what influences good care on the patient side? Firstly, patients may simply ask no questions and seek no confirmation of the initial recommendation. Or perhaps they seek therapies promoted in the media, not realizing that the evidence supporting their use may be very thin. The media always needs good health news stories in its dual role as informer and entertainer, frequently presenting premature data with hyperbolic claims of miracle cures. Alternative therapies abound in prostate cancer, and although few have strong evidence to support them, there is everything out there from a gigantic, unregulated nutritional supplement industry to a deafening internet buzz promoting these therapies. More than 50% of prostate cancer patients are taking a supplement or altering their diet in response to this. A few years ago, I had a patient with a tiny prostate cancer that did not threaten him at all and really should have been left alone. He understood this and planned to simply be observed. But he couldn't resist the siren call of Chinese herbs. Well, what's the harm? These he brewed and drank in enormous quantity and concentration, with the result that his liver stopped working, and he needed a liver transplant. What was worse, in order to be on a waiting list for a precious donor liver, he had to have no other major illnesses and, specifically, he had to be free of any cancer. Thus, I needed to treat his prostate cancer in order to allow him to receive his transplant, which he wouldn't have needed if he hadn't taken the Chinese herbs that he never needed in the first place.